Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Pola sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose, as long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. This is your hosts, Alex and Sean. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the Big Bears signing in free agency. We'll be talking Cubs, White Sox, maybe a little Blackhawks. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford Ice Hogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford Ice Hogs, they're the AHL minor league affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You get to see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. They have cool giveaways. It is an awesome stadium for AHL hockey. You are right on top of the action. And it is not that far from the city. Like hour and a half tops. So do yourself a favor. Head on over to icehogs.com. Get yourself a hat, shirt, jersey, tickets, and more. Tell them Swirsky Sports sent you. Also, don't forget about the Hot Mic app. It is the coolest new app in sports. If you like watching sports, but you are tired of whatever announcers the TV is giving to you, you can get the Hot Mic app, sync the app to your TV, watch the game on your TV, but listen to hometown, homer-friendly announcers. Not just any old random people, but people that are knowledgeable, but they're also big fans. It's cool. It's free. Check it out. Hot Mic in the App Store and the Android Store. Alex, how was your Super Bowl Sunday?
It was a lot of fun. Had a few friends over. We had some pizza and beer and chips and pretzels, all fun little snacks. Enjoyed the game. I thought the game was both what I expected and not what I expected. I expected a very close game towards the end, a good battle. I thought it'd be higher scoring, but you know what? At the end of the day, it was a good game, and the team I thought would win, the Chiefs, did win. I was kind of rooting for the 49ers just to keep things within the NFC, but I was okay with the Chiefs winning. I was really happy to see Andy Reid finally win a Super Bowl. And I was just glad that we were, you know, given a good game, especially after last year, because last year's Super Bowl was just awful in so many ways. So, yeah, no complaints here.
It's funny. I saw a picture of Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, and it's got Kelce pointing, and it says underneath, "Let's wait till the fourth quarter this time."
Nah.
And then 538, which is like an odds website, then you know, they give the probability of things happening, and they're like the Niners have a 93.8% probability of winning this game at this point. Need some Mahomes magic.
More like Shanahan magic.
Oh man.
I mean, did you see the comparison, the win percentage comparison charts from the 2016 Super Bowl, the famous 28-3 comeback, and last night's in Super Bowl in the fourth quarter? Very yeah. Similar odds.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, but it was a good game. I enjoyed it. I'm happy for Andy Reid. Speaking of which, I don't know how this has evaded me for all these years, but have you ever seen the video of Andy Reid in 1971 at the punt pass kicking competition?
No.
Oh my God. So it's him as a 13-year-old with other 13-year-olds, and they all come up to like his belly button. It's insane. He's so much bigger than everybody else. Let me see here.
I still love the comments on how he celebrates. He just goes and eats cheeseburgers. That's like the ultimate dream right there. Win a Super Bowl, have a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I don't know if you have your phone on you, but I just texted you the pictures, and I'll post them up on our Facebook and the Twitter account. But it's absolutely insane. It looks like little children with like a grown ass man.
And oh my goodness, that's Andy Reid?
Yes.
Wow.
And he didn't win.
How did he not win? Oh my right. goodness.
He was 13.
Did you say he was 13?
13.
He looks like he's 40.
It's unreal. Dude, it's unreal how big he is compared, especially like the littlest kid is the one next to him. Like, you know, there's some other kids that are, you know, bigger than that kid, but it's unreal. He looks like a ringer. They just got a grown man to come in this competition against kids.
What a legend. It's like that Simpsons episode with Frank Grimes. I don't understand it. This was a competition for children. Yeah, and Homer beat their brains out.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that I took away from the Super Bowl is the Bears to get the opportunity to go this far, they need to more emulate the 49ers than trying to be the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think about the assets that the Bears have, you think of the assets that the Chiefs have. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the whole Pat Mahomes thing. I'm really sick of that. There's no point of it at this point. But, I mean, just outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is not, yeah, right, not to beat the dead horse. It's, you know, it's just been beaten to the ground. Nobody else has a Pat Mahomes. So to try right. to emulate a team that has a Pat Mahomes and has a guy like Tyreek Hill that's just so fast and have a tight end like that and an offensive line that's able to protect, it's just nobody has the personnel to do that. So why not try to emulate the 49ers who just established – there's no superstars on that offense. Jimmy Garoppolo is paid like a superstar. But he's not a superstar. You can get
no.
Mitch Trubisky could do the things that he did. I believe that. You know, given the right coaching, I think he can do that. The Bears wide receivers are better than the 49ers wide receivers.
I mean, Allen Robinson is better than any of those receivers.
I would put David Montgomery against any of the running backs on the 49ers.
Absolutely.
The difference is the offensive line and the run block scheme on the 49ers is infinitely better than what the Bears did.
I mean, not only that, the offensive line, I think, is the biggest thing in my opinion. But in addition to that, you see the way that they're coached. They're constantly in motion. They're trying to keep the opposing defense off balance. With the Bears, it's you don't get good blocking and everything is incredibly predictable. You don't have that with the 49ers. You have things in motion. You have holes the size of trucks being opened by that offensive line. I was saying last night during the Super Bowl on Twitter just how much I love the 49ers style of play. I love the fact that they can succeed with ground and pound football. I love the fact that they can get good quarterback play but not necessarily rely on the quarterback because, as you said best, Garoppolo's not a superstar. He's not bad, but he's not a superstar. But when you have the right system, the right personnel, you can make things work. It's a lot easier for you when you have a Pat Mahomes, but you can win when you have a nice balance of a good system, personnel in the system, both the players and the coaching, and just guys that can do what they're asked. Not go above and beyond, but do what they ask. But you could only succeed like that when you have a very good system. And it just, I watch the 49ers play, and I get so frustrated knowing that this is what I'd love to see from the Bears, much more consistently. I almost get more upset watching the 49ers, or not upset, but jealous, watching the 49ers do what they do than watching Pat Mahomes does what he does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. The Kansas City Chiefs, they had a lot of times where they didn't know, they didn't look like they knew what they were doing. And you see that with the Bears. You're like, okay, I can buy that. It just, they're so talented, they make up for it. You're like, oh, I just ran three awful plays where nobody knew what they were doing, but then I just completed a 57-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. Oh, okay. You know, that's like, you don't have the talent to do that, but you watch the 49ers and they're better coached. They're more disciplined. They know what they're doing. And it doesn't hurt that you have George Kittle's. Like, he's really good.
Guy's a tank that can move, man.
It's adding that as a weapon. And that's another thing the Bears are missing. I think you can shore up the offensive line, but where do you get a tight end like that to make your offense go? I mean, it's such a weapon when you have a really good tight end. It really sets the stage for moving your offense. I mean, there was so many times he was such a mismatch for everybody.
Right. Those are the things you'd love to see, but we haven't seen that in several years from a tight end. Let's face it.
Yeah. And you know, in more Bears direct related news though, Greg Olsen was released by the Panthers today. And I've seen a lot of people call for the Bears to pick him up. And I don't understand why. He's been really injured. Who knows if he even still wants to play? What's his health? I mean, if he came for like $1 million and you knew he was healthy and it was incentive based, I'd say, okay, you know, give it a shot. But that's really not what the Bears' style has been. They've been trying to get younger. And Greg Olsen is like 400 years old. Sure, he's a really, really good player, or was. It's his prime is well behind him.
Yeah, I'm still upset that they traded him away. I thought that was one of the worst front office moves the Bears have made in the past decade. And, you know, part of me would love to see a reunion, but, you know, I agree with you. You are right. Greg Olsen is much older. He's past his prime. You don't know how much he's going to play. I think that if he's on his way out and if he's ready to retire, you got to bring him back and sign a one-day contract with the Bears. I mean, I know he didn't play nearly as long here, but he was such a good part of that team. I think he deserves to sign a one-day contract. But, you know, beyond that, yeah, it would be riskier bringing a guy like him back, though. It is kind of sad to say he'd still probably be the best tight end we've had in a while. So, again, that ain't saying much. You look at all the tight ends we've had since, the only one that really stands out is Zach Miller. You had a decent year in 2018 from Trey Burton, but then he got hurt and, like, never played again. You see the holes on the offense, and you realize how much tight end can stick out.
Oh, it's like a sore thumb.
Right.
And you know, if you were to tell me, all right, we're going to go out and get a stud tight end, and we'll bring in Greg Olsen on veteran minimum, and he's going to be our second tight end. Okay, I'm okay with that. That's a veteran tight end being a security blanket for a quarterback that you're trying to nurse along. I'm okay with that. But if you're trying to tell me that he's going to be tight end one, nope. Or if you're going to try to give him legit money, nope.
No, they're like you said, they're going to want to spend the most money on younger assets, younger players.
In which they, excuse me, they did. They went out and they signed Trey Robertson, which it's funny because you know, I'm reading a lot of comments and articles, not just from fans, but from actual, like, you know, smaller Bears focused outlets talking about how that's signing this guy from the Canadian Football League is signaling that Prince Amukamara is assuredly gone. And I think that's a bit of a stretch. Do I think Prince Amukamara is gone? Probably. But I thought that was going to happen regardless of signing this guy. I mean, he's coming from the Canadian Football League. I know he played well there, and I watched some film of him, and he's a big guy for a corner. He's like 6'1", over 200 pounds, pretty fast. Good ball skills. He's a good cornerback, but they brought him over on a 2-year contract where his highest salary in either of the 2 years is $600,000. This is not a guy that's you're looking to be a starting cornerback. This is a guy that's where you're improving your depth. You're
pulling, right. You're not bringing in another Kyle Fuller or anything.
Yeah, you're making your depth better. He's a guy that is a depth piece. If somebody gets injured, if you need to put four cornerbacks out there, that's the type of thing. Like you get better by bringing in top end talent and then making your backups and your depth better. And that's what he's doing, the latter. So I don't think this decision has anything to do with what they do with Prince Amukamara. I think it's just a very inexpensive way to increase your depth. It's like a draft pick without actually, you know, wasting a draft pick.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it.
I mean, he's a guy, he went two off seasons with the Vikings and never made their team. He wasn't drafted out of ISU. You know, so he's a Canadian football guy. He's played against Canadian football competition. I don't think there's any way he even beats out Kevin Tolliver for, you know, if a starting spot opens up, let alone if they bring somebody else in. So I just like this as a depth piece. I mean, I watched a little bit of film on him, and he looks solid, but again, it was against Canadian football competition.
Yeah, there's a difference, to say the least.
Yeah, there's a big difference. What else? I mean, not a lot of Bears going on. You know, we're starting to see today was the first day you could release veterans, and you know, you've seen a few names get cut. The Falcons are going to move on from Vic Beasley. Greg Olson got released. So you're going to start seeing some names pop up. I don't know who from the veteran list that gets cut interests you. Vic Beasley is a name that's a little bit interesting because he's a guy that had double-digit sacks early in his career and hasn't been able to produce those types of numbers again. But you wonder if, instead of being the number one option, if he's the number two option, do you get better production out of him than you do Leonard Floyd?
I mean, at this rate, I think it's possible. You know, Leonard Floyd, we've been waiting how many years to see those sack numbers go up to see him get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vic Beasley is a kind of a cool option. I don't know what kind of money he's going to command on the open market, because it's an interesting, like, he hasn't had terrible numbers, but he hasn't had, like, these fantastic numbers like he did early in his career when he looked like he was going to be a superstar. I mean, he's only 27, so he's still young. And in 2016, he had 15.5 sacks. And in 2017 and 2018, he only had 5 each year. And then last year, he had 8. So those aren't eye-popping numbers other than 2016, But you, if you're like, well, you know, instead of being the number one option, some people, you know, your number one pass rush option, you put him opposite of Khalil Mack, does that make him better? Where he's going to get one-on-one opportunities.
Playing on a better defense.
I mean, we've seen what Leonard Floyd can do, and I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, I don't want to call Leonard Floyd like bad, but he's definitely not what we wanted him to be. We wanted him to get to the quarterback. That was the whole idea. It's not happening. It's not happening. We need better pass rush, and you know that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm not. He's been versatile. He's been able to drop back into coverage and do nice things there. I think he's against the run. He's been better than expected.
Yeah.
But and the hurries have been there in some years. They just have never translated to sack numbers. And you're like, okay, well, you know, when going opposite with Khalil Mack, you figure, all right, he's going to have his opportunities, and he just never took advantage of those. And for the money he's going to make in his fifth year option, I don't understand the point. You know, you have to have him at this point because you don't have another option. But I think you could trade him and get like a mid-round pick.
And you wouldn't get a lot, but you could probably get something.
You could probably get a fourth-round pick for him. And, I mean, you figure Dante Fowler got like a third and a fifth. But that was less money. So you figure you could probably get a fourth for Leonard Floyd. And then, you know, if you sign up Vic Beasley, that replaces him for probably less money. I can't imagine he's going to get eye-popping money based on the last couple of years. But you put him on a better defense across from a better pass rusher, and you get a fourth-round pick, a mid-round pick. You know, that's an option. That's a legit option, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, other than that, you know, it's, you know, this let the teams relish in their Super Bowl victory. But, you know, we're going to start seeing soon the NFL draft combine. We're going to see pro days. You're going to start seeing moves in free agency. So unlike baseball, football is going to come pretty quick and come pretty fast. And you're going to see big names come off the board right away. So, you know, although this is a little bit of a slow season, you got to expect that it's going to ramp up real quick.
Yep.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see some of these dominoes fall, because I think it's funny that some of the free agents that are out there, it's going to be shaped by what some of the big name free agent quarterbacks do. You know, if a team like the Raiders, who are apparently courting Tom Brady, I imagine if they get a Tom Brady, that's got to probably shape the way that they attack free agency after that much differently than if they don't get him, right?
Oh, of course.
You know, if you're able to get Tom Brady, you probably go all in because you know you've got a very short window. But if you don't land him, you know, you probably go a little more conservative and look at it the long approach. You know, if Drew Brees decides to retire, that's got to change the outlook of what the Saints do.
Absolutely.
You know, the Chargers, whatever they decide to do with Philip Rivers, do they franchise tag him? Do they let him walk? That changes the outlook of not only the Chargers, but the couple teams that you hear are courting him, the Florida teams that are courting him. You know, it's really interesting to see that these old quarterbacks are kind of driving where some of the free agency goes. You know, you're like, well, why is that going to impact a defensive player? Well, if you're on the cusp and you sign a, you know, a aging veteran, the, you know, your window's short. You're gonna put all your chips in and, you know, try to sign some big name free agents to get that Super Bowl and squeeze every bit of playoff life out of these guys.
Yeah, well, if your window's like 1 or 2 years, like you said, it's going to exactly reshape the way things go. The Bears have been trying to build a contender to sustain for a number of years. So, you know, our scenario is a little bit different, but I think the Raiders are a prime example of let's try to win right now. Let's try to get back into this. You know, they were trying to think of the long haul just a few years ago when they traded Mac to us. But I think now in a new city, new environments, they want to try to win right away. And obviously, if Tom Brady goes to Oakland, or not Oakland, Vegas now, Vegas, I'm still not used to that. Oh, that is just going to be a headlines galore.
I mean, you saw that they had some success last year, and they played really tough.
And they were better than I thought they would be, absolutely.
They were a lot better than I thought they were going to be, and that's with a bum quarterback. You know, Tom Brady is not anywhere close to the Tom Brady he was 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
No.
But he's still a lot better than a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And that window is very, very small. You know, you might only have 1 year out of that. So if you're the, you know, you're the Raiders, you're looking at this like, hey, I need to legitimize paying Chucky $10 million a year for 10 years, and we're going to the playoffs. And it's, but to me, it's a little bit silly. Is do they think that they're signing Tom Brady for $30 million a year is going to make them compete with the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I still think it's kind of for the attention.
I mean,
personally.
Or maybe it's to make the playoffs. You make the playoffs when the new city?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. You know, I don't think they'd be a Super Bowl contender, but you can get into the playoffs, and if you get into the playoffs, no matter what, you're going to get a lot of attention, especially with Tom Brady. I mean, we've never, ever seen Tom Brady play for another NFL team other than the Patriots. If you're the Raiders and you get him, oh, man, just the storylines, it would never stop. They would be in the spotlight. That new stadium would turn into the house that Brady built in a weird way. It would be weird. It would be really weird, and I don't think Super Bowl winning, but it would certainly be attention-grabbing.
It would. It would, say the least. But yeah, so I mean, we'll talk more Bears as things start to unfold a little bit. But right now, it's, you know, you could take some stabs of what we think they'll do, but you know, until there's a lot of fat that can be trimmed to make up some salary cap money, and there's a lot of moves that could be made, and it's going to be interesting because, you know, they could go down any number of paths, but I think it's all going to start with surrounding Mitch Trubisky with more talent.
Yeah, and I think addressing a lot of their weaknesses, pass rush, offensive line, and I really, really hope that Matt Nagy is going over the playbook and saying things really have to change here.
He's just sitting there like a corrupt company in the middle of the night with his shredder, and he's got his playbook. This place sucks. This place sucks. This place was, it's like, right. No, it wasn't.
It's one of those really old shredders that are just so loud.
He's just sitting there, and he's looking at one, and he's, you know, contemplating really hard, and you'd hear in the background, ba-doom! Shred it. Don't play. Shred it.
Ting.
Buttercup. Shred it.
The moment Matt Nagy, you know, maybe we could try this again. Ting. You won't do that.
That really, that's, chaps my ass.
We need John Lackey to just stop Matt Nagy from doing something like he did last year. Like, the minute he sees it, pa-ting! And then Nagy's eyes will get all wide and scrap the play.
He's getting ready to call like a seventh straight pass near. It's like, I mean, 42 blast. Run with,
give to Montgomery, I formation.
You see him just sprint down the sidelines. No, I need to call a pass. And here comes Buttercup with a lackey with a lasso trying to lasso him.
You just see down the sideline this whole thing just taking place.
And the lasso goes around him, grabs his feet, and pulls him out from under him. And just face plants on the grass, and then lackey jumps off and hog ties him.
What was the play you were going to call?
I didn't quite hear you.
And all the coaches and players just sit there and watch. Like, what are we supposed to do?
You see Dave Ragone start slinking off.
Yeah, right. Like, towards the tunnel.
Under the cover of darkness. Just slinking off.
As soon as he gets to the tunnel, all of a sudden a big wad of chaw just lands right in front of him.
Going somewhere. The chaw, like, the spit is still running down his chin. And he's like, and he wipes it with, like, the back of his glove. And it's part of his sleeve.
Going somewhere.
You going somewhere, boy. Man. So, I want to transition to some baseball here. There's not a lot going on. Pitchers and catchers are getting ready to report. But I got scolded by my friend Gary because White Sox Fan Fest came and went, and we didn't mention it at all. But nothing really happened.
There are no narratives, no booing of new TV networks. It's just, hey, it's Sox Fest, and we're going to be good. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the news that came out of there was Rick Hahn said they're probably done with any major acquisitions, but never say never. And that they haven't won anything yet. I mean, really, all that's going on with the White Sox is I think people are excited because I think there's a lot of versatility in this, the way you could make this lineup.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you have several guys that could DH. You can move a few guys around the infield. You know, it's like you said, nice versatility.
Yeah. I mean, you even got Steve Stone acting absolutely giddy, making his lineup card. And, you know, now that you have Luis Robert signed to a long-term contract, you expect him to be their opening day.
And you would hope, yeah.
I mean, I would be absolutely shocked if he wasn't. I mean,
the only way he wouldn't would be an injury, God forbid.
Yeah, but that'd be cool. Back-to-back years, having you know, great young players making their debut. That's, you know, that's pretty cool.
And finally, you'll see a debut in a season that's going to probably be at least entertaining.
Yeah, but I like what's happening is you have one of the better catchers in baseball, and you have a guy who had a solid year last year as your backup and who could also play DH. You've got a real DH. You've got a first baseman who can DH. So you've got a bunch of DH options where really last year you didn't.
No. It was Abreu, and did Jimenez play any DH? I can't remember.
I don't think so, but you had Collins playing some DH, and he was an easy out. So it's you didn't have a ton of options. You've got options now at catcher, at designated hitter. You're starting to form your pieces here for your outfield. You've got with Gio Gonzalez and Dallas Keuchel, are these two superstar pitchers? No, but are they veterans that can stabilize a young rotation? Absolutely. And it gives you a little more flexibility on when some guys come back from injury or what if what if people aren't pitching to your expectations that you're counting on as far as younger players? It's just kind of exciting here.
I didn't hear much other than Rick Hahn's words come from Sox Fest. And, you know, honestly, no drama is good. I mean, think about it. Be glad there's really nothing to talk about from the fan convention. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
it really is a good thing.
When your hardest hitting question is, you know, who's playing second base? And they tell you some combination of Lurie Garcia, Danny Mendick, and Nick Madrigal, with Nick Madrigal being your projected, you know, long-term answer, one of your better minor league players. You're like, okay, I'm okay with that. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
You've got Nomar Mazara, who you're penciling in, and I still think he's a platoon piece.
Yeah, I think so too.
But in a season where you're still building things up, like I don't think it's a bad option. I don't think they're competing for a World Series, but I think this is a really solid team without a ton of weaknesses. It's, you know, barring, I mean, the weakness is going to be how do young players progress? Do the ones that have already been up here take a step forward? Does Tim Anderson build on what he's already done, or does he regress? Do the pitchers, the young pitchers, take a step forward? Does your Cy Young candidate pitcher, number one pitcher, Lucas Giolito, does he build off of what he did last year, or does he regress? It's basically those types of questions. It's not, oh man, who do we have to fill this hole, which is kind of what it's been the last few years. You actually have options. So it's nice. It's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be, you hope that these young players feed off of each other. You know, one guy does well, other guys try to emulate. And it's cool that, you know, we like to, from the North Side perspective, kind of project how the Cubs did it onto the White Sox. And Tim Anderson kind of becomes the Anthony Rizzo type player, where he's the young veteran.
Yeah.
You hope that he has the success that Anthony Rizzo has had with the Cubs and continues to do. And, you know, Tim Anderson has kind of become quietly a very popular face of the organization. His personality has really kind of shined.
I'd say he kind of is the face right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's taken that huge step forward where that's it, but Tim Anderson has quietly started to cement himself as being the face or a face of this organization, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing when your young veteran that's what he's doing. Especially when you're going to have some superstars on that team. Jose Abreu is a great player, but he's quiet. You know, you don't hear much out of him. Tim Anderson needs to be the face, not Jose Abreu.
Jose Abreu kind of reminds me, you know, I don't think their personalities are really similar. At least I don't know. But Jose Abreu is kind of like a Chris Bryant, where they're both kind of quiet, but they're both well-liked and respected, but they're not going to be the guy that's sitting on top of the dugout steps and like riling everybody up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's not the guy that's going to go out with the young players. He's not going to be, the out on Twitter making noise. It's Tim,
which
Anderson,
there's nothing wrong with
not,
that.
Not in a bad way. Not, you know, not in an Antonio Brown way.
Not a crazy way.
Yeah. But he's fun. He's a fun follow on Twitter, and he's lively and entertaining. So it's cool. It's really neat to see who a guy who I was on the fence about whether I thought he could make it in this league, and he's proving me wrong, and that's nice to see.
Sure, absolutely.
So let me check the projected White Sox lineup. So yeah, NBC Sports is predicting Luis Robert at center, Tim Anderson short, Abreu, Moncada, Eloy, Grandal, Mazzara. You know, you signed a designated hitter, and Nick Madrigal at second. You know, there still are free agents out there. There's still guys that could get traded, but you know, this is going to be exciting to see. You know, with Lucas Giolito, you've got two veteran pitchers. See what Dylan Cease can do. Michael Kopech, Reynaldo Lopez. It's going to be a fun watch. And you still have Andrew Vaughn, who's going to be up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he might be like the next big thing at first base.
Yeah, I mean,
this team's going to be very good for a very long time. I'm going to just flat out admit it. They're probably the future of baseball in this city.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, after that, I mean, they've got so many players that are just young, ready to fill these holes. You know, on top of those pitchers, Carlos Rodon's going to be back at some point. You've still got Dane Dunning, Jimmy Lambert. You know, you've got other guys that are in the pipeline to fill some of those holes as well. So it's you've brought up a slew of major league cusp players, and you still have a solid farm system.
Yeah.
So it's exciting times to be a White Sox fan, and are they going to do it this year? No. I mean, they've got a chance to win the division. We've talked about the Royals.
I think they will. I'm picking the Sox. I think the Twins are really going to regress. And then who else is there? The Indians? No.
Yeah, the Indians. They're not going to be. Have they traded Lindor yet?
No, not yet.
I'd be surprised if they don't.
Honestly, but shame on that team. Shame on the Indians for having a World Series window and basically saying, "Nah, we don't feel like paying players."
So they're going to regress. I think you're right. I think the Twins are going to absolutely take a step backwards.
They do it every year. It's every other year they do good.
The Royals stink. The Tigers stink. It's going to be a combination of the White Sox are on the rise and the competition's not that good.
No, I mean, the White Sox should be able to absolutely beat up on the Royals and the Tigers.
So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. It's, you know, do I think they can compete with the likes of the Yankees and some other powerhouse teams? No, but they're closer. They're closer than they've been in a long time. A long time.
Yeah, I mean, minimal. That's where they're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to project.
I think they could really surprise people this year. I do.
I mean, I'm going to say 86 win season.
I'm going to say close to 90. I'm really high on this team. I think they're going to pull a 2015 Cub type season.
Yeah, so we got pitchers and catchers reporting in, what, a week?
Something like that.
Get pitchers and catchers report. For the White Sox. Pitchers and catchers, February 12th. So nine days. So a little over a week. and 11th for the Cubs. So yeah, we're really close to pitchers and catchers reporting. So baseball season is starting to get into full, or you know, baseball, you know, spring training is going to be on us in short order, which is going to be fun. Enough of this winter stuff.
Yeah.
And then Cubs. They exist. They're there somewhere.
Which is something you never thought you'd say in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, so they signed Jeremy Jeffress.
Which, you know what? I'm going to say this. I think there is potential for the Cubs bullpen to be decent this coming year. I really do.
There's potential for it to be solid. There is potential for it to be
garbage,
an absolute dumpster fire mess.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you are completely correct about that. I said the same thing on Twitter. It could be terrible. It could be pretty good. A lot's going to depend on A, if Kimbrel bounces back. B, if Rowan Wick is who he is, that we hope he is. If Jeremy Jeffress can find that Milwaukee magic he had a few years, if Kyle Ryan can continue to be solid, and last but not least, if those guys can stay on the field healthy.
I think that's the big one.
It's a huge one. Absolutely, it's huge.
You know, another factor is, do the Cubs get back to fundamentals of playing solid defensive baseball?
Yeah. Which, you know what, I think it will be better. It almost seemed fluky last year that it was that bad. Obviously, their defensive numbers in 2016 were like historically good, and you're not going to see that again. But last year, they played so under where they should have been defensively. It doesn't feel like it's going to be at that level again.
Yeah, it's you can't ebb and flow that far. So they've got to be somewhere above where they were last year. You know, not what they were in 2016, but somewhere in the middle. I mean, I think so, in the middle is okay.
Is pretty good. I mean, all things considering, if you're gauging in the middle by 2016 compared to last year, just on the Cubs spectrum, that's pretty good.
So, I mean, if you can get healthy, those guys healthy and somewhere, you know, you're not expecting them to have these career numbers like they had in the past, but if you can get bounce back performances and healthy, you get a decent defense behind them, I think it's serviceable.
Sure.
You know, you got a lot of options at least. What else with the Cubs? We finally got the ruling on the grievance with Chris Bryant, and nobody was surprised. It went in the favor of the Cubs.
Nobody was surprised.
It's just really surprising that it took that long to get the ruling.
Right. Which may or may not have affected the way things have gone this offseason.
That's a possibility. We don't know, because it's been quiet. And you know, I've heard Jed Hoyer talk about how that this is the hardest they've worked in an off season, and just because there haven't been a lot of movement doesn't mean that they haven't been on the phones working, trying to make things happen.
Well, think about it. You might be potentially trading your superstar. You're looking at trade suitors for them constantly. And maybe there are some other core pieces, too, you're working on, whether it's Wilson Contreras or it's Kyle Schwarber. Those things are included in this, and there's a lot of work to be had, even if things don't materialize.
Yeah, I mean, you were very, very hamstrung by the purse strings. So, of course, you're trying to leave no stone unturned. I'm sure they made a lot of calls about trading Jason Hayward.
Oh yeah, to clear space, absolutely.
So, you know, I'm sure they worked really hard to try to make something happen. It just nothing really happened.
No.
Let's see, the Scooter Gennett rumors. You called that one.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like it, but I think if you sign him to something really cheap, even if it's a minor league deal, and you give him a chance, because I believe Nico Hoerner is going to start in Iowa. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe he really impresses this spring, but I feel like there's more time for him to develop. He really only came up last year because of a need, where in this situation, it's a little different. You probably are looking at developing him more, at least to start the season, and then your other options are Daniel Descalso and David Bodie, which David Bodie I think is probably your best option on the team right now. But if you brought in a guy like Scooter Gennett, who's not a very good defensive player, but you look at his batting stats the past several years, they're very good. And you just look at last year, he only played 40 games last year, 40, 41, 42, because he was injured. I think he's a great candidate for a bounce back. And if he does bounce back, you got yourself a nice bat there.
Yeah, last year he didn't play very many games. But if you look at his 2018 slash line of 310, 357, 490, the year before 295, 342, 531. That was 2018 and 2017. It's not that long ago. He's not even 30 yet.
Right, exactly.
He won't be 30 until May.
He's not like he's 36, 37.
Yeah, so he's definitely a legitimate. I mean, I don't know if you sign him to a minor league deal. Imagine he's going to get a major league deal, but it's probably just a 1 year type shot. But it's going to be affordable. I just don't know what the Cubs see as affordable versus what most of Major League Baseball sees as affordable.
Right.
Let me see what his projections are for this year. Projections. .261, .310, .420 slash line. With 11 home runs in 83 games.
I don't know. I mean, if he bounces back, he could definitely do better, but we don't know if he's going to bounce back or not.
Yeah, no, we do not. So that's about an average OPS. But if you get him cheap enough, it improves. If Nico Hoerner ends up being the guy, then it gives you another option there for coming off the bench. I'm just trying to find creative alternatives here for the situation that we're in. And I don't think that's a bad one. I think I agree with you. I don't think that's a Scooter Gennett is a bad one.
No.
What else do we got with the Cubs here? Really not a lot going on.
No, not a lot. Not a lot. Not a lot of optimism, not a lot of excitement, not a lot of moves.
I mean, we did sign Corbin Joseph to a minor league deal.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
I mean, his career major league slash line in 44 games is .170, .213, .261 with one home run.
Wow, he's hit a home run. Good for him. That's more than I've ever hit in the majors.
It's true. That is exactly one more home run than you've hit in the majors.
Yep. Rock on.
Should we talk a little hockey?
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
Yeah, let's hear your thoughts here. And I think I know what your thoughts are going to be.
So, okay. This Blackhawks team frustrates me because they're not bad. When you look at their overall record, the way they've been playing the past month or so, they're not bad by any stretch. They're playing like the team I thought they would play before the season started. But man, you just look at the first few months, and you look at some of those brutal losses. If you could have just had a few more wins, you'd be sitting very comfortably in a wild card spot at least. They are right at the cusp of a playoff spot. Now, we saw this last year. They got close. But this team right now, the past month, looks better than they did all the last year, even when they were on that hot streak. Would you agree?
Yes.
They look better. It helps when your defense still isn't great, but you've at least helped stabilize it a little bit. And also, big bonus, your goaltenders are Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford, and Corey Crawford looks like Corey Crawford again, as opposed to AHL goaltenders and Cam Ward's rotting corpse in the crease. There's a big difference there. They look like a solid team. Not necessarily a contending team, but one that's going to be in the mix here. And you're just in this, you're in one of the most frustrating spots, because you know as soon as the Blackhawks lose a few bad games, which they are due to, it's going to be hard to maintain this. It looks like this season's going to be all but lost again. And yet they're so close to grabbing something here. The one thing you have working for you right now is the teams around you trying to compete for the wild card spots are kind of reeling right now. The Coyotes are reeling. The Nashville Predators aren't doing all that great. You do have a chance here. I don't think it's a super great one, but I feel like they have much more of a chance now than the Blackhawks did last year when they were hot and they got close. Because even when they got close last year, I don't think their playoff chances rose over like 20%. Or it was somewhere around there.
Where they're standing right now, they are 3 points behind Arizona
right.
for the last playoff spot, and Arizona's played two more games.
Right.
So they're literally right on the cusp. But there's a bunch of teams bunched up right there. You know, it's if you look within, let's say, 4 points of the Blackhawks, there's two teams ahead of them and one, two, three behind them, all separated by 4 points or less.
Right. So, I mean, really, if the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs, they got to control their own destiny more or less. They can't rely on other teams losing.
Because there's so many teams that are just so closely bunched up. I mean, this is kind of crazy. Let's take out the top two teams in the Western Conference, the St. Louis and Vancouver. And these are the point totals right now. 62, 62, 62, 61, 60, 59, 56, 56, 55, 55, 48, 47. That's pretty close. I mean, you know, from the top to the bottom spread, you know, not too great, but it's pretty tight. You know, in the Eastern Conference, you get a little bit of a bigger spread. You have some drop off there, but it's the Western Conference is pretty tight. The Blackhawks, if they want to make this playoffs, it's right there. It's in their grasp.
Right. And you never felt that last year. They never really had a great shot.
Here's my fear. My fear is they make a trade deadline move to try to make the playoffs.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We've got was it 24th? I think the 24th is the NHL trade deadline.
Right.
And I fear that they're going to try to make that move to put them over the top and get them in there. And they're going to sell some of the future to make the playoffs this year. And I think that's a terrible idea.
I don't want them to sell future assets to try to make the playoffs. It's weird. I would normally agree with you that I'd have that fear. But I kind of feel like they won't. I feel like they'll make just a bunch of small little moves. Like today, they claimed some dude that was on the Minnesota Wild. I think you're going to see some moves like that, and maybe you'll see a smaller trade where what you trade away is either like a late pick or like some unknown prospect nobody's heard of. But I don't see any major moves being made right now, frankly. You know what's funny is if the Blackhawks had maybe 3-4 less wins, they would probably have a bunch of assets they could sell. But to me, I don't think they're going to do anything really major on either side.
Nick Seeler is the guy that they picked up from the Wild. Yeah. He's only 26, defenseman, and he's one of those guys. I think they're just going to keep churning young defenseman to see who fits, who sticks. And Nick Seeler, the one thing I could say about him, I haven't seen a ton of his play, but he's a scrapper. You know, if somebody does Kane dirty, Nick Seeler is going to be there punching that guy in the face.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that philosophy. It's, you know, you keep churning until you find something that works. You know, you got an offense that's working. You've got goaltending that's working. You know, the defense, anything you can get out of your blue liners is gravy. So, you know, keep churning until you find something that works.
You know, I got to say, too, what I've been really happy with, the PK has looked really, really good.
Which it hasn't been in a long time.
Right. I mean, that's nice to see. I look at this Hawks team and you evaluate the teams around them and their situation. It's like just a few games can make all the difference. They lose two in a row, they could drop way the hell out. They win two in a row, they could be in a playoff spot. Like, isn't that nuts?
It's pretty nuts, but I'm excited. It's been really fun to watch this year.
They've been entertaining. They've been interesting. It is nice.
I just hope I'm fine if they make some small deals here and there, and maybe trade some guys that are borderline AHL NHL type players for, you know, somebody else's change of scenery trades. I'm right. Okay with those. The Blackhawks have kind of done a bunch of those. I don't want to make any big splashes because who knows if Bowman's going to be here next year.
Right.
And I don't want him to make a big, big splash that's going to impact what possibly the next GM has to work with.
Right. You know, I don't think they would trade away any of their most notable prospects. At least I would hope not. I don't think they will. The one thing I ask myself going forward is this. How long can they sustain what they're doing? Because you know they're going to be due for a kind of a cold streak. I mean, the last month or so, when they've had a bad loss, they've been able to rebound right away. The other thing, too, is they got to play better at home. They've been very mediocre at home. Honestly, I think their best play has been on the road.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Look how they dominated the Maple Leafs a few weeks back. They've beaten some very tough opponents away from home ice. But the Blackhawks on home ice, like I said, they just looked incredibly mediocre.
Then there's the recent rumor with the Blackhawks. And I'm sure you've heard this one. A certain Winnipeg Jet.
No. He hasn't skated. He's probably out of shape.
We know he's out of shape. He was out of shape when he was in shape.
Yeah, no. If he was in his prime, heck yeah, but not now.
He's a big man. He's in his mid-30s. I don't know why you would sign him, but there's a lot of people that are gung-ho to sign him. And going by Bowman's past history, he's probably got that ringing in his head going, man, we should bring Bufflin back.
Did you see my tweet about that?
No, I didn't.
It is a gif of Squidward tentacles running with his tongue hanging out, like with a crazed look in his eye because he wants more Krabby Patties. And it's Stan Bowman looking after somebody he once traded away who was well past their prime.
It's really funny because I could totally see the Blackhawks doing this. They love reunions.
And yes, they do.
I remember when they brought back Sharp and he was just like he was literally a shell of his former self. Like, you know, the meat was sitting on a beach somewhere, but you just had the brittle shell on the outside, not scoring any points.
Yeah, basically going on the ice with a cane and walker instead of a stick.
Just going out there so ladies fill the seats.
Yep.
So I salute Dustin Bufflin, what he did as a Blackhawk, but no thank you.
Man, that was a decade ago he was a Blackhawk. Isn't that hard to believe?
It's been a decade?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, remember, his last year as a Blackhawk was the 2010 Cup season. That was a decade ago. 2009-2010. Now it's 2019-2020.
You know what also makes me laugh is Anthony Duclair having a breakout season.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of forgot that he was a thing, and I'm looking.
I would watch him play, and I'm like, you know what? There's something that's going to connect one of these days, and I liked him, and, you know, it just happened to be with Ottawa now.
He's with Ottawa, and in 51 games, he has scored already a career-high 21 goals.
Yeah, that would be nice to have those 21 goals.
It would be. And the speed, and, you know, it would be nice.
But I did like him. I did like him, and I thought it was a change of scenery, and things would click, and it did. It just wasn't with the Blackhawks.
Yeah. He's bounced around. I mean, he started with New York, then he went to Arizona, then he came here, then he went to the Blue Jackets, and now it looks like he's finding a nice home out in Ottawa.
You just hope that a young player, like when it comes time to free agency, you don't just sign the biggest contract. You sign somewhere that you've done well. You know, it's always a bummer when somebody just goes for the biggest buck and doesn't replicate the success.
Yep.
And that's not just in hockey, that's in any sport. Sometimes you got to look at, is it worth giving up a little bit of money to have continuity and be in a place where I know I can succeed rather than, you know, going somewhere else to chase a little bit extra money.
Yeah, right. You know, I just realized when we traded for Anthony Duclair, we traded Richard Panik. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember when Richard Panik had that one career year here with us? He had like 22 goals.
Yep. Oh, Panik with a K.
Yep.
So should we wrap this up with a little bit of Bulls talk? There's not a lot. I just want to vent about stupid Jim Boylan.
Go for it.
Why in the world do you call a timeout with a minute left in the game and you're down by 25?
I got nothing.
Like, you're down by 25 points. The Raptors announcer really summed it up. It's Super Bowl Sunday. People just want to go home, and you're calling a timeout for what? What are you doing? What does Jim Boylan do? I don't understand his
rotation. You could just stop rotation. Right there. What does Jim Boylan do? You could just stop right there.
What is it that you say you do here?
What would you say you do here?
I really want him to explain his job to the Bobs.
What is the matter with you people?
I'm a goddamn people person. I talk to the goddamn customers. It's a jump to conclusions, Matt. It's got different conclusions that you can jump to.
Oh, man.
I don't understand Jim Boylan. I don't understand the rotation that he has, how he decides who gets minutes and who doesn't, the situation he puts people in, the timeouts he takes. Just there's nothing about what Jim Boylan does that I understand. The players don't like him. He's not doing a good job. I don't understand. And I really don't understand Gar Pax.
Well, we haven't for years, so.
But I don't understand the end game here. What are they trying to do? And what do they think? What is their end game? It's clearly not to win an NBA title. I think we've all established that. It's not. What is their end game? Because the seats are empty. Sure, they're making money because of television rights, but the seats are empty. And so you're going to make less money. You're not any closer to winning a title. You've got a dysfunctional team. When they sit back and watch this, what do you think Garn Packs talk about? Like, what do you think that they're saying? What's on their mind? Like, I don't understand what they're seeing and how it's translating into their ultimate goal.
I don't either. I don't know if it's just pure delusion. I don't know what it is. I really don't know. I wish I had an answer for you.
I'm really confused. I mean, you know,
you got to be seeing how terrible this is.
Like,
right?
We can rip Ryan Pace and we can rip the McCaskey family. But the McCaskey family really loves that team. They absolutely love the Bears and they want to win. They just don't know how to do it. And Ryan Pace, you can see what he's trying to do. It's just not working. So you can rip him that it's not working, but you can see what the vision is. You can see the goal. You can see what he was trying to do. And, you know, the success is of course, you know, what keeps you in the job, most sports and most teams. But with the Bulls, I can't see what they're doing and how it's leading them any closer to the end goal that we would expect as fans. I don't know what their end goal is.
Well, I mean, their goal obviously is to win, but I just don't think they know how to do it. Or I just wonder if they think they're much better than they actually are, which is why I think them making the playoffs as like an eighth seed would be an absolute nightmare.
Oh, it would be so bad. It would validate what they're doing.
Exactly. They'd get extensions afterwards. Jim Boylan would get like a 5-year extension.
And the thing is, they're really close to being in the playoffs.
I know. And
they're close to making the playoffs, but where they are, you know, they'll be the eighth seed, and it's pretty obvious that the Bucks are going to be the number one seed. So you play on the road versus the Bucks, and they absolutely smash you and sweep you because you can't beat them. You have no chance to beat them.
No.
And is that good? Like, is that good for you? This is bad. I mean, sure, even if you make the playoffs, how do you hang your hat on that? Because this Eastern Conference is dog crap.
That's putting it lightly.
I mean, the Hawks are almost 30 games out of it. The Cavaliers are almost 30 games out. The Knicks are almost 30 games out. The Hornets are 26 out. The Pistons are 25 out. There's two teams that are currently in the playoffs that are a combined 13 games under 500.
Right.
The Nets are 21 and 27, and the Magic are 21 and 28. Those two teams are in the playoffs if they were to start right now. So it's just such, it's top heavy. So the Bucks are a legitimate team. They're 42 and 7. The Raptors are pretty good. The Celtics are pretty good. The Heat are pretty good. Pacers are pretty good. The 76ers are pretty good. And then it's just a huge chasm after that. It's like a 10-point drop-off.
It's blech. It makes you just want to blech.
Yeah, like every team other than maybe the Warriors and the Timberwolves from the Western Conference would be smack dab in a playoff hunt in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is that the Hawks are 13-37. And
I can't believe they have 13 wins, man.
They're only 8 games out of the playoffs.
That shouldn't even... It should be like 18 games out of the playoffs, but no.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's unreal that a team that bad is still only single digits out of the playoffs.
It's sad. That really is sad.
And the Bulls can't beat any team with a greater than 500 record. But the thing is,
most of their wins are against the Hawks and the Pistons.
The thing is there's so many teams with an under 500 record in the conference. There's only 6 teams with a winning record in the conference. Out of 15 teams, 6 have a winning record.
Yikes. Oh, God.
So, and then after that, it literally plummets. So the sixth best record is the 76ers at 31-19. And then after that, it drops to 21-27. It's like a 10-game drop off after that. The Bulls have had success against these bad teams. They have had no success against decent teams. So I reiterate, I don't know what the point of Jim Boylan is. And I don't know what the end game is for Gar Pax and what they're trying to do, what their vision is, and how Jim Boylan is getting them any closer to that.
It's not. It's going quite the opposite.
I mean, is it just clinging to his jobs with our life or with our lives? Like, is that what we're
Jerry Reinsdorf won't fire his friends? I mean,
like, all right, don't fire him. Just give them different titles and give them some tinker toys and let them play in the corner, and then get a real GM in here.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't care. I don't care.
Official Tinkle Toy Tester.
I don't care if they're in the building. Just get a real general manager in here.
Right.
John Paxson is like the third highest tenured GM in the league.
That's unbelievable.
And the thing is the two ahead of him are Pat Riley and Greg Popovich, who are Hall of Fame. They're Hall of Famers.
Quite a difference. Quite a difference.
Like, that's, you can't, you can't be like, if you have a Pat Riley or you have Greg Popovich, you go, okay, I will keep those guys around for a long time, because even if they have a rough season, they'll bounce back because they're very talented and know what they're doing. Gar Pax, they don't do that. they don't. They're terrible. Yet they're still allowed to have their job forever.
Somehow, some way, they are.
Oh, it's just infuriating.
Yeah, I'm so exhausted by the whole thing. It's like, I could question it to the end of the day why it is like it is, like I have many years, but I've just come to the conclusion it's not going to change anytime soon. I doubt it will. If it does, great, but at this point, I just don't expect it. Nothing is going to make anything better. I'm just so apathetic about them right now. Can't even handle.
And even if you like puke, it's not a good kind of puke. It's like it's Buffalo Bill fan puke.
Yeah, it's Buffalo Bill fan puke, not gourmet puke.
Yeah, it's fat Buffalo Bill guy, you know, coughing and puking onto his own shirt.
That is one of the grossest videos ever.
I literally saw it and I went, Alex is not going to like this video.
Not at all. Not at all. Because I do not like puke.
I don't think anybody likes puke.
No.
Oh, man.
Dude is just sitting there. Just.
I guess that's what happens when you live in Buffalo.
Yeah, true.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think I've said my piece.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn app, Google Play, blah, 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 whatever, Stitcher. Hit subscribe. Follow us on social media at ShyFanPat1, at Swirsky Sports, Facebook.com/SwirskySports, SwirskySports.com. Thank you. Oh, please share this podcast with your friends that like Chicago sports. That's how we grow the podcast. And thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, bear down.
Cubs win! What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her, you can have her, she's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van,
and she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on the plains.
Bears, 31, to -7.
The Bears!
Oh, when the Bears go bearing down...